Hello, my name is Jerry Pratt, and I'm the Economic Development Officer with Clearwater County. Welcome to our premiere episode of what we hope will be an ongoing conversation about a range of topics that impact the lives of our residents and businesses. In this episode, we explore the role of internet access in education. Despite the growing importance of reliable, high-speed internet access to a quality education, large gaps in service remain. More than 10% of Canadians still do not have internet access at home, while rural speeds are on average 10 times slower than urban speeds. The phenomenon is gaining more attention, like this story from CBC's The National.
In many ways, the mountainside hamlet of Rider Lake, BC is a perfect place to raise a family and a few animals. There's plenty of space, but not much in the way of internet.
When we moved up to here 8.5 years ago, internet to us as a family was a social thing. It was a nice to have. It wasn't essential. Now it's become essential.
Sherry Eggersma says the family pays $150 a month for satellite internet, and the speed of the service means there's barely enough bandwidth for one person to be online. When schools were closed, it was a big problem.
It was technically challenging, very challenging, because we had to start picking and choosing basically who was going to be learning and who wasn't.
Clearly, the implications for students are dire. The urban-rural divide in connectivity has contributed to an inequality of learning opportunities that is acutely felt here in Clearwater County. As education experts have pointed out, this disparity has led to a homework gap that is dampening the potential of many students. Individual stories of lives disrupted abound across the country, like that of Landmark, Manitoba resident and mother of five, Margie Saucier, who describes her family's routine. My oldest is up at 2 in the morning, from probably 12 to 3 in the morning. That's when she does her schoolwork, because she says that's when the internet is working. To learn more about what internet access means for local students, I spoke with Tim Bowman, principal of Rocky Elementary, to ask him about the role of internet access in education. Tim, with Rocky Elementary, I'd like to do it in three parts, and to talk about internet and education. How were students using the internet before COVID?
The internet has changed the way we teach completely. We have access to information. We have access to experts. So kids are using internet every day in the school. We're lucky to have high quality internet in the school. So every student at our school has their own Chromebook device to use when they need to for research or for showcasing their work or for presenting it back to the world. And so whether it's the student that's using it or the teacher that's using it, we're using it on a daily basis, hours at a time.
And then this last year and a half, COVID came and totally changed education in particular. So could you share a little bit about how for elementary school, how that changed for elementary school students?
Yeah, so we were lucky enough that because every student had their own device, we were able to send those home devices home with students. But at the same time, those devices require internet to be fully useful at home. And so some of our students had a good reliable internet and some did not. Those that did would connect with their teacher on a daily basis and continue to their studies. Those that did not have good access would either come by the school on a weekly basis and pick up paper parts that they could do, or they didn't connect with the school and they took their we caught them up at a later time.
Really slowed down the education process for those students.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Months and months behind, I imagine.
Yes.
Okay, so thankfully we're seeing a bit of a light at the end of the tunnel. Students have been able to be back in school and then out and then back.
Yes.
Now that we're hoping in September, life is more or less normal.
Yes.
But all the changes that happened in education and things that schools learned about providing online services,
yes,
I'm pretty sure that's changed the way some parts of education is probably going to be delivered in the future. Are there any things that you see happening with programs in education, both in the school and maybe even outside the school, on that are going to change now that internet is just accepted as the way to deliver certain things?
Well, I think we used to hoard all of our information in private libraries, and if you were rich enough to have one, you had access to information. Now we got public schools and information available now through internet on a regular basis. It's opened up what students can learn. And again, give them access to experts across the world. So now the skills have become curating that information and analyzing that information. But the access to information is really important. And so not only has education now evolved with that access to information, we're now teaching better than we ever have before. The pedagogy has improved dramatically because teachers have access to that information.
Right.
And now students have access to that information. They've got to, their dreams can now come true because they're not hindered by not access to information.
In fact, sometimes students can know more about a topic than a teacher because it's available to them.
So my background in the music classroom, all the time, I would have a kid go home, a grade 7 kid go home on guitar and come back a few months later, much better player than I am. How did you learn that? I learned on YouTube.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
So students needing access at home to just to be able to do the regular classes now, right? Like I know with my kids, when they get a message home, it's like, you need to watch this video for class by before class tomorrow so we can hold a discussion on it.
Right.
That's really limiting for a lot of students in our rural areas that just don't have access to be able to watch those videos.
Yeah. Well, it's first an issue of equality for some people to feel like they can participate and others can't. There's people making all kinds of adjustments then in the home to if they've got limited bandwidth to be able to have choosing which child can have access to that bandwidth, have access to the device, and so we're having to evolve that way as well. And now as education is evolving here, as we know better, we do better, we're finding we've been forced to innovate over this past year, but we found things that worked much better than they did in the past. And so the ideas of some blended education, hybrid education being offered, where there's some on the farm, being in a remote location and being in a on-site at the school, those are possibilities now that were never there before. People can have choose to live and work where they want to and still have access to the information if they have reliable internet.
So Tim, one last question, and maybe it's a little bit on the fun side with students. Have you seen any interesting projects that students are taking upon themselves to do because they have access to that information over the internet?
Sure. I know I'm getting to do a lot more fun projects because we're creating video, we're doing green screen, and because now I have that skill set, I'm doing it with the kids. And so we're creating videos that are not just videos, but engaging, that have the production value, that create engagement, that allow them to share what they are learning to the world, share that information now to the world, in ways that we couldn't do before. A specific example, I don't have at the moment, but.
Okay. Well, I just think with them learning how to do video work, like this is our first time doing this.
Yes.
Be able to hire a 12-year-old soon to do the work I'm struggling to do.
Absolutely, yeah. Yeah, our kids have a different skill set now because they've been exposed to it. Because a YouTube video can teach them some of the tricks of it, or at least teach the teacher so that the teacher can provide some of that work in the teaching in the classroom.
I was a scout leader here in the community for several years, and I was always amazed with what some of these youth would come to our meetings. We talk about what they're interested in, what they know about. And because of internet access, they knew on certain topics, they knew stuff very in depth that you wouldn't have been able to 20 years ago without actually being involved at a location where they had that item, right? It's like some were into the camping side and they knew a lot about camping, but others were more into building or, as you said, music. And they just knew, they knew the theory, they knew the history, they knew all these things because they could just look it up and somebody's written stories or essays about it. Other people have done videos about it.
Right. So when I say access to experts, so we're able to get author visits right into the classroom, even though the author is located in Edmonton, Toronto. My daughter is doing painting art with experts from New York. So having people from cooking, my kids are learning how to cook through the internet.
Wow.
So last year, our French monitor was, so we have a French language assistant. She, her home is in Quebec, but she'd come to live in Rocky last year. And when we got shut down, COVID happened, she was located in Quebec then for the last 4 months of the school year. But she continued to interact with the kids and she created this cooking show and practicing French language with the kids from across the country. It turned out to be very popular and couldn't have been done in another era.
I can imagine, you know, before long, it's possible to host a social studies class with students from Alberta and from New Brunswick and from Ontario all at the same time.
Absolutely.
And they could have some discussions about, you know, the different impacts of history in their areas.
Yes.
And so our students in Alberta wouldn't just get an Alberta perspective. They would have a truly national perspective.
Indeed. Yeah.
I think of, the astronaut who just several years ago was able to do stuff. Yeah, he did the presentation to students from the ISS.
Yes.
And the potential for, you can live on a farm in rural Alberta and still have access to that.
Yes. So imagine, as a kid, you didn't know anything about space unless you read a little bit about it. But imagine having access to Chris Hadfield with it. I know I had kids do research projects, things that they're really interested in. To be able to actually email an expert in the field and have them reply back, that's really changing.
Wow.
Because the information an expert can give you is many years of study,
right,
and be able to transfer that into a student
and be able to combine their expertise and their passion in a presentation to the students as well.
Like,
well, I look forward to seeing where education is going to go with all this, especially now after COVID. It's more accepted and people have adapted and you're using it.
Yes.
And the students, the students readily embrace this before most adults did, I think.
Yeah. Yeah. We find something done on a computer is very engaging to our students often. It's built in high education.
Okay. Well, thank you, Tim. I really appreciate you coming in today.
Yeah.
Well, that was my conversation with Tim Bowman of Rocky Elementary. We appreciate his insights, which eloquently highlight the importance of high-speed, reliable internet access to the well-being of our students. We hope you enjoyed this episode and learned something new. I know I did. For more information about Clearwater County's broadband internet project, please visit www.clearwatercounty.ca/broadband and follow us on Facebook and Twitter to keep up to date on county news. Check out our YouTube channel at youtube.com/clearwatercounty to view upcoming episodes and other county videos. That's it for this first episode. Stay tuned for more. My name is Jerry Pratt, and thank you for joining us.